Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Since the launch of the Serotalk Podcast Network, we've been pleased and privileged to cover a lot of events, a lot of conventions and that sort of thing. But recently, Buddy Brandon had the opportunity to do something really special. I'm Jamie Pauls, and I'm joined by Buddy today to talk about a trip to New York. How you doing, Buddy? How was the holiday?
I'm good. The holiday was great. It was a nice, quiet holiday. Spent time with my wife and my daughter and, you know, just hung around the house and watched festive, happy Christmas things like E.T. Actually, we also got to see the, some TV channel had this sort of making, the cast of A Christmas Story, Where Are They Now?
Oh, interesting.
And that was kind of interesting, yeah. But it was a good holiday.
Well, if the end of your month is kind of winding down, the first part of the month started off with a bang. Talk about
your trip to
New York, man.
Well, it was kind of a mad scramble because it all came together sort of at the last minute and very, very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But I got to go to the UN. I'm probably the only guy on my block that's gotten to go to the UN.
I'd say that's right.
So I got to witness the inauguration, if you will, the opening of the first and, by all accounts, not to be the last,
right?
UN Accessibility Center.
Now, that just the name by itself is pretty exciting. Before we talk about kind of the particulars of your trip, what are the people at the UN kind of hoping to do with this accessibility center?
Well, after they passed the what do they call that? The something on rights of persons with disabilities. There's a C in there that stands for something. CRPD.
Gotcha.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on the C, but anyway, it's sort of the international version of what the ADA did in 1990.
Good.
And our Senate has not yet ratified this. It went for round two this year, and I don't know if it ever got anywhere or not. I don't think I've seen whether it was ratified, whether it was voted down, or what it was done to it. But the last year when it came up for vote, it was not ratified. And I think that the reasoning was something like, well, we've got the ADA, we don't need this. But I think really it would have been a symbolic thing. Regardless, whatever we have in our own laws that we would follow here, I think that it would have been a good show of solidarity, especially if we're, you know, promoting this stuff, for us to have passed that or to have ratified that treaty.
Right.
So since they passed that, the UN has been working to, I guess, lead by example. And what they want is they want more involvement from people with disabilities in international government and international policy and that sort of thing. And so in order to sort of foster that, they opened the first accessibility center. And what they're going to do is they're going to have this place where, you know, they'll have equipment that people with disabilities who are working with the UN can go and check out things if they need them, like a talking book player, a braille display, or a what have you. People in wheelchairs can charge their wheelchairs there. Their big thing is also going to be to provide access to information and documents in alternative formats. For example, they've got braille production there. They've got Duxbury, and they've got a braille embosser, and they've got, they can make electronic documents in alternate formats, and they also are going to coordinate things like sign language interpreters and things of that nature. So the Accessibility Center is going to do all of that kind of stuff.
So getting there was quite an interesting trip. You took Amtrak up from where you live in Pennsylvania, and
there was a little bit of a delay on the way up. On the way home, there was more of a delay, but that's par for the course for Amtrak.
Right.
So it was about a 12-hour train ride up.
Excellent. And then, of course, when you got there, you got settled in, and you got a little bite to eat the night before the big event, and then you you kind of just tackled Times Square by yourself, didn't you? Just kind of
I did. It was just me and it was just me and my dog, and, well, there were some hours to kill before I had to be anywhere.
Right.
So I went and tried to see if I could tour these couple of museums that were nearby, but they didn't have anyone that could go around with me, and so that was kind of a dud. And there was a little irony there, actually, because here on the day that we're dedicating the Accessibility Center at the UN and talking about access to services and equality for people with disabilities and all this sort of thing, I run into, well, we don't have anybody that we can spare to help you with this tour. So yeah. There was a bit of irony there. But me and Leno got lost in Times Square. But we did get to go to Bubba Gump and have lunch. And then we got lost in Times Square again. And Leno was a trooper, man. He got a little confused, actually a lot confused, and so did I. But what was happening was there would be crowds and crowds of people standing at the corner, so he'd go around the crowds of people, but then instead right. of then going to the curb, he'd keep going around.
And yeah.
So I'd end up going in a different direction than I thought I was. That was what was going on there, I eventually found out. But once we got that straightened out, it was a nice long walk to the Korean Mission. Now, you know, of course, people say, oh, you could have taken a cab. Why didn't you take a cab? Well, there are two reasons. One, I'm cheap. And two, I didn't mind the walk.
Right.
So it was all good.
Great experience. Yeah. So one of the reasons, I suppose, that you were able to go to New York and witness this event is because of our good friends HIMSS Incorporated. And you want to talk about how does HIMSS figure into the work that's being done there at the UN?
Well, HIMSS US is a little bit different from HIMSS International.
Okay.
They're related, and HIMSS Incorporated is sort of, I guess, a subsidiary or some such thing, but they operate separately. Mm-hmm. So you've got Jim McCarthy, who is the president of HIMSS US, and it's its own company. And then HIMSS International, of course, is the main company that manufactures stuff and so forth. And they're in South Korea.
Right.
And HIMSS International donated a bunch of equipment for the Accessibility Center. The Korean government paid for a bunch of stuff, and HIMSS donated some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were invited as the Serotalk Podcast Network. We were invited to go. We were invited by HIMSS US to go and cover the event. And so I don't know, we drew lots or straws or something, and I got the lucky one. So so we went, and thanks to them for inviting us. We really, really enjoyed it. We were glad. I was glad personally that I was able to come and number one, to experience that, and number two, to get the experience of doing some of the audio capture and interviewing and so forth. That this was my first one, so any rough edges or things like that are in there, all mine.
Hey, that's all right. We all experience the rough edges. So you actually got to attend the ceremony, and we're going to put a link in the show notes to a webcast of the ceremony. Kind of what was that like, just being a part of such an august group of people, I guess?
Yeah, there were a lot of people there. I mean, there were lots of this. Well, you know, afterwards, people sort of got to go in and see the center, and it's a very small room, and there were lots and lots of people.
Right.
I was really not expecting there to be a huge number of people, but there really were. You know, we had to go from the Korean Mission to one of these UN buildings, and we had to go to a couple of different places. The first door wasn't authorized to let us in, or wasn't set up to let us in, or some such thing, and so we had to go this to this other thing and go through security and all that, metal detectors and everything. And we go into this auditorium, and this auditorium set up with just rows and rows of tables that, you know, there's a little headset there and a microphone there. So this is like one of these rooms where they actually have delegates and do stuff. This wasn't this was like a room where, I guess, where things actually happen.
Wow.
Which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's this folder of stuff that I have yet to go through to see what actually it all is. But, you know, there was a folder at every chair, I guess, like a program and whatnot. But that was kind of neat. I mean, like this was a pretty big auditorium, and there were a lot of people there.
That's really pretty cool.
I was impressed. With how many people were there. And, you know, it was the kind of thing, you know, it started, there were different people made remarks, including the you know, someone from the Korean government and somebody representing young people with disabilities. She was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I forget what her organization was. And there, you know, different people, and they basically all talked about what kind of impact this was going to have. And then the, you know, Secretary General went and, you know, they did the ribbon cutting, and then everybody got to go through and see what was there. I mean, there were so many people, I didn't really get to see much, but, you know, just to be in that huge group, I mean, it was a huge group of people. Seeing this stuff was just amazing.
So in true SPN style, you interviewed several people while you were there, and we're going to go ahead and kind of slip a few of these in as you and I are talking. We're going to kind of insert some of these interviews. And one of them that I think is very important and very was a quite a good interview was the director of the Accessibility Center. I believe her name was Anshu.
Anshu, yes. Yeah, she was, you know, it was funny because at first she didn't really want to be interviewed. She said, well, you've already talked to my boss, so what do you need to talk to me for? But
I've gotten that a few times myself.
But yeah, but and Magnus was fantastic too. He's the guy that's in charge of conferences and meetings or some such thing. And, you know, he was super, super excited about the Accessibility Center and what it meant. And you know, he was the guy that basically that was going to be really coordinating all of the document deliveries and the sign language interpreters and all those things. I mean, like that was going to fall in his lap. And so, and, you know, he was just super, super excited about it. And to have somebody with that much power and influence to be as on board this project as he was just super, super exciting. It wasn't anything, you know, because, you know, a lot of people just give a lot of lip service to it. Oh, yeah, sure. We're interested in people with disabilities participating and stuff. And yeah, we really are committed to that. But you can tell. I mean, you can tell when people mean it and when they are just saying something. And he meant it.
Well, let's go ahead and take a little break here. And we'll let people hear the interview with Magnus, who is the director of the Division of Meetings and Publishing of the UN, and then we'll hear the interview with Anshu.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Buddy Brandon, and I'm joined today by Magnus Olafsson. Good afternoon, Magnus.
Hi, good afternoon.
And you are the... I'm sorry, your title again?
Yeah, I am director of the Division of Meetings and Publishing of the UN. It's a very big department division that is servicing all the meetings and conferences of the UN.
Ah, sounds like a lot of work.
It's a big work. We have a lot of conferences, a lot of meetings, as you can imagine. I have huge teams of interpreters, of meeting servicing people, verbatim records people, you name it. Mm-hmm. It's there.
So I guess you're interfacing with the Accessibility Center is going to be things like providing documents, providing translation services for people who are deaf, sort of thing?
You're absolutely correct. I mean, we are focusing on visually impaired and hearing impaired meeting participants. Mm-hmm. So we try to provide subtitles and sign language as much as possible at our meetings, but also documents that are accessible for screen readers, etc. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have changed because technology is changing, as you know.
Yes.
And there are so many solutions available now that were never available before. And this is our great hope, that we will enable more people to participate in the work of the United Nations. You see, there are hundreds of millions of people out there, an enormous intellectual power that we are not using. And by enabling disabled persons to participate in the intergovernmental work, we are actually enriching the work of the UN. Because you have, as you know, lawyers or economists who happen to be deaf or blind, but we cannot use them because we don't provide them with the tools. That is basically the thinking behind it.
Right, and this has been, I'm guessing this has been a problem and perhaps some of the impetus for opening the center, is that?
Absolutely correct again. It has been a problem for a long time, a too long time.
And so now then I guess we'll be able to not only provide we've got now the technology to provide the documents in Braille or in electronic formats. Also, I'm supposing subtitles, sign language interpreters, and that sort of thing will work out of the center?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. And as many other types of services as possible. We have a very clear mandate in the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It's a human right issue, and we just have to respect the provisions of the Convention. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. I am personally glad to see that such an international effort is happening for us. I'm really excited by it, and I hope lots of other countries will sign on and help forward this, because of course, you know, I'm sure we know this is the beginning, and you know, we're going to have to maintain it now, and that's, I guess that's going to be the next challenge, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. This is not the solution. This is just a tiny beginning of the solution. And we have to continue day after day until we realize the true vision.
Do you think that other centers will be opening in other UN facilities, maybe Geneva and other places?
Yes, I am convinced of that. The Secretary General himself said so in his opening remarks, mm-hmm. that this is the plan. And again, we just have to realize the plans. It is his vision to have an inclusive UN. And let's work with him on that.
Very good. I'm glad to see that the UN is going to be an example that other people can see, can follow, and emulate.
Well, let's wait and see.
I hope that is my hope.
Yes. So it's my sincere hope also.
Magnus, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners?
I think we have covered it pretty well, but. If I may be so bold, think about it. If you are clever, competent, young, educated person, but disabled, and you cannot find a job in the civil service or in the national service, how frustrating it must be. It is simply not fair. It's simply not correct. And it is this unfairness that we have to fight against. Thank you.
Thank you, Magnus. It was a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Buddy Brannon. For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Buddy Brannon, and I'm joined today by Anshu. Anshu?
Shroff?
Is that?
Yeah, Anshu Shroff.
And she works at the Accessibility Center, and she was also involved in getting that started. Anshu, can you tell us what was involved in getting the Accessibility Center, getting that rolling?
The Accessibility Center really has a bunch of stakeholders, and there are various aspects to it. One, of course, is the assistive tools and technologies which are at the center and have, of course, been made available by the Republic of Korea. And then the whole vision and to make the Secretariat more accessible comes from the Secretary General, and Magnus Olafsson, the Director of Meetings and Publishing, has been working towards it, and we're all working under his office to fulfill this vision. What this is also the implementation of the strong and very powerful Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So that and its articles talk about equality and empowering persons with disabilities, not just to be able to hear and get information about the UN and its meetings, but also be able to partake equally and you know, convey what they have to say and contribute. And that is what we are doing here with the help of these tools and technologies.
Mm-hmm. And this has been a long time in the planning, I'm gathering.
Well, it's a huge system, and
sure.
A lot of protocols and things. It's been in the vision for a while, but we are so glad finally it's here, and we have something to present and for people to use.
Good. And this is the first such center like this. And our plan, I guess, is to open more of these. How do you feel about the challenge of maintaining the center? Opening it and providing the equipment is great. But how do you feel about the challenge of maintaining it?
Indeed, we are looking at opening many more centers, and you know, we are one UN, so we want the other duty stations and regional offices also to become as accessible as possible. Of course, any technology becomes obsolete after some time, and that's how technology grows. It always has a life of its own, be it your computers or cell phones. There's new technology coming up every now and then. So what comes next, we have to be abreast with it, and hopefully, you know, member states will be so kind to help this center keep abreast with new technology and services so we can enable persons with disabilities to very effectively be a part of the UN system.
Oh, very good. Is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners that we maybe haven't covered?
No, well, I'm for now very excited that the center's finally launched, and we welcome one and all to come and see the center, make use of the tools and facilities. We have trained people here who can help guide you through the tools, and we look forward to getting more feedback.
Very good. Thank you for spending a couple of minutes with me today, and I'm sure our listeners are going to be looking forward to hearing more about the center and more about what y'all will be doing in the future.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for having me speak.
Thank you, Anshu.
You have a good one.
You too.
Thanks.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Buddy Brandon.
All right. That's really very well done and very interesting stuff there. So you also got to go to dinner, which sounded like a lot of fun. I have the entire audio. It was over an hour. We won't ask people to listen to all of that, but we have a few minutes of audio here that we'll play in just a second or two. But sounds like you got to have some, was it authentic Chinese food?
Yeah, it was. I guess it was pretty authentic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely not Chinese takeaway, that's for sure.
Right.
But, you know, it was several courses. There was, you know, the dumplings, and then there was the something, and then there was the Peking duck, and then there was the, you know, thing with the chicken and the rice and the shrimp and this and that and the other thing, and of course, fortune cookies, which are not very authentic at all, but, you know, you got to have them.
No. Well, you got a pretty good fortune out of the deal. I mean, God's going to give you everything you want,
actually,
man. I'm not sure how you can top that
actually,
one.
Actually, it's really funny because I think a couple of people got that one. I'm not sure how that worked, but
yeah.
But no, it was good, and I met really interesting people. The first guy that sat down next to me was showing me what he was doing with an alternate input. You know, you've got Flexi mm-hmm. and different things. This particular thing that this fellow and his company came up with, it's gesture based. So it reminded me a little bit of, if anybody remembers Graffiti from the 90s with Palm OS. Basically, well, only a little bit though, because instead of 26 different letter shapes, you only have 12. And basically what he did was he's grouped several similarly shaped letters together. Mm. And so you draw this shape and then you tap to cycle through to the thing that you want.
Oh, wow.
And then for numbers were a little confusing to me until I got to say I'm kind of slow. I'm like, okay, so up is 0, right is 3, right, and then up is... What? I don't understand the pattern here. And then, of course, he said clock. I said, oh, okay, now I understand. So numbers are on a clock face. So like if you drew a line straight up towards 12, that would be 0. Okay. To the right of that is 1, so you draw a line up and then to the right to get to 1. Mm-hmm. 2 is sort of to the left of, like a little bit above 3, so you draw a line towards 3 and then up to 2 and so forth. And, of course, once you explain it that way, it makes total sense, but at first I was just, I couldn't figure it out. Mm. I'm not really sure if his software would be any faster than anything else or not. Maybe it would be once you actually got the gestures down and so forth, but you know, that people are thinking about this stuff is just fascinating.
Yeah. Well, and then you got to actually meet a government official from South Korea. And I think probably we can let you people hear a few minutes of that audio. A lot of it, of course, is just over the meal and kind of casual conversation. But I think his opening statement is pretty interesting, kind of what he envisioned from the Accessibility Center.
Yeah, definitely. He's another one that just seems really excited about the possibilities. One thing that I asked everybody there was about, you know, whenever I asked anybody, it was like, well, what do you anticipate the biggest challenge being? And do you anticipate, for example, you know, because it's great to have all the equipment and everything, but keeping skills up to date and keeping software up to date, it's no good if it's not updated. And it's no good if there aren't people there that know how to deal with it and make sure that things are current.
Right.
And it sounds to me like they are actually committed to doing that. It's not just an empty gesture. Well, we've got this thing, now shut up. It sounds like they're actually going to do their best to really keep it up.
Yeah.
Government of Korea, actually, we are very pleased to actually kind of provide this chance. And I think we're going to continue to work for the people who have some disabilities, including some blind and deaf. There are many, you know, difficulties. So we're going to kind of improve the condition of life by using ICT.
Plans are to put more of these kind of centers in other UN facilities?
If they want, if they want. Of course.
It sounds like, from what I was talking to Magnus and some of the other people, it sounds like they're on board doing it. So I guess it's just going to be a matter of, you know, getting things done and sort of, you know. But, you know, we've laid the groundwork today, it looks like, and it seems like the people involved are very enthusiastic.
That's right. I observed that. But, you know, this is just kind of small beginning, small start. So we have to show, we have to produce some performance for the people who have some difficulties. So actually, while after that ceremony, just I have small talk with the manager of the accessibility center. Actually, I asked her actually if she has some, you know, kind of difficulties or suggestions, requests from the users. So just actually let us know, we're gonna help them to solve that problem. So we have to collaborate together. So this, you know, the inauguration of this center is kind of just beginning. We have to make some outcomes, positive outcomes. So to do that, we have to collaborate for a while. Let's say 1 year, two years. That's right. So maybe they're gonna have some problems very near future. Let's say tomorrow, next week, or so. You know, users, I mean, the people who are working for United Nations now with some disabilities, each person has own kind of conditions. They have to customize those kind of, you know, these kind of conditions. So I'm not sure, it's something. We have to deal with this one. So very enthusiastically, the Secretary General and many people, they supported this center, this initiative. But we have to show actually some kind of success stories. Good stories.
Before we go, let's have one more interview with Vladimir of the International Disability Alliance.
For HIMSS International and the Saratoga Podcast Network, I'm Buddy Brannon, and at the inauguration of the UN Accessibility Center, what was it called? The International
Day of Persons
with Disabilities. Yes, that was yesterday, December the 3rd, and today is the 4th, and we're opening the Accessibility Center, and I'm joined here today by Vladimir Chuk, who is... Tell us the name of your organization, Vladimir.
Yes, so I'm coming from the International Disability Alliance.
International Disability Alliance.
Yes.
Very good.
It is a global network of organizations of persons with disabilities. We bring together 12 large organizations of persons with disabilities worldwide, such as World Blind Union, World Federation of the Deaf, DPI, Inclusion International, etc.
So sort of an international coalition of organizations representing all kinds of disabilities.
Yes.
Very good. And
also regional organizations.
Okay. And so this is the first center like this that the UN's opened, and they've been working on this for a while since the treaty on the treaty was sort of drawn up and is being ratified by lots of countries recognizing the rights of persons with disabilities, and they've been working on this disability center. From your perspective, can you tell us what this is going to mean for not only people working with the UN, but more generally, people with disabilities?
This will be very useful for people and delegates that are coming to UN to attend sessions and meetings that have some kind of accessibility needs. Like if they need, for example, Braille note taker, they can borrow it here. If they need to charge a wheelchair, we had many situations when people were coming from Global South with a completely different charging system for their wheelchairs.
Sure.
And so they stayed without a juice very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then this will be really like rescue for them to continue participating.
Sure.
So it will be used, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. And especially as people with disabilities become more integrated, more involved in mainstream society, I think we're seeing the days where people like ourselves are sort of locked up behind closed doors and locked up totally the responsibility of family or at best at best family, and at worst, you know, organizations with no money and no opportunity. I think we're seeing the end of that.
Hopefully we are. Yeah.
And I would...
Through convention and through hopefully post 2015 agenda, I think that there would be more inclusion of persons with disabilities in the mainstream programs and funding. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we will see some more participation and more inclusion.
What do you think about how this is maybe going to be publicized?
We'll see. I don't know. I think that UN TV will do a good job, and the UN DPI, mm-hmm. Department of Public Information, to like publicize this and to make it public, so that people who are coming there, they know what they can use for.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there will be more now disabled people who will be willing to take part because they know that they will be able to borrow this equipment.
Right.
That is the whole point. If you know that something is accessible, you will go.
Right. I think that's a big challenge.
That is a big, yeah.
So, do you think? I think one challenge that we're going to see is, okay, it's great that we're getting equipment, it's great that we're getting facilities. Do you think there's a concern about how this is going to be maintained?
I think that will be less of a concern right now. But you're right. You're right. We need to think about everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely true.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the interview.
Is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners, or any information that you'd like to pass on?
I would like to just pass information that we need to work harder to promote rights of persons with disabilities everywhere in the whole world, especially now when we are faced with negotiation of a new global development agenda, and we need to be included there.
Thank you, Vladimir.
Thank you. I appreciate your
time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
So, kind of, what was your general takeaway from the experience? You got to spend time at the UN. You got to meet some people that are setting up this center. Are you optimistic? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I am optimistic. Again, I think there will definitely be challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody there is committed to expanding. What form that expansion will take, how long it'll take, and all that is going to, I guess, remain to be seen. But I think everybody who's involved, I think their hearts are in the right place. And I mean, that's the best start. If your heart's in the right place, that's where things begin. And I think that, like I say, there are definitely going to be challenges. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of work to keep it up. But I think that we've got dedicated people that are going to do their level best to meet those.
Well, that's excellent. That's a great takeaway. And I look forward to learning more about the center and seeing if more pop up and how this really improves accessibility for visually impaired people all over the world and with other disabilities as well. So that's very exciting.
Oh yeah, I should. Yes, we should really stress that this isn't just a blindness thing at all. Like I say, the one woman who spoke during the ceremony was a young woman who is deaf, and she mm-hmm. spoke through the aid of an interpreter. So they're going to be working with people with all kinds of disabilities, physical disabilities and sensory disabilities and all of it. So
sure.
Again, lots to do.
Exciting stuff. Look forward to watching it develop and even being a part of it with the Serotalk Podcast Network and the things that we do at Serotech. It was kind of interesting to listen to you do a little bit of visiting with a lady who has a child with who's blind, and apparently Lisa had visited with this person and you got to meet up with her
mm-hmm.
almost by accident. I mean, you were looking for her, but you almost just literally ran into her, it sounds like.
Yeah, so. It was interesting because, like I say, all this stuff came together really, really quickly, and
yeah.
I had intended to try to get in touch with her to see if we could meet up, and then, you know, I didn't. So to accidentally run into her there was kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us and kind of debrief a little bit and kind of give us your thoughts. And we can slip a little audio in. Also, encourage people to check out the show notes and check out the webcast. Listen to that as well. So with Buddy Brennan, I'm Jamie Pauls reporting for the Sarah Talk Podcast Network.